The following program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. Welcome to Humanities Connection, a production of WFDU-FM and the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. I'm Bob Mann. We have two fascinating segments on this episode of Humanities Connection. In just a couple of minutes, the segment on the Visual Arts Center of New Jersey will be on the air, and it will feature my conversation with Sarah Walco. Sarah is the educational director of that center. Later on in the program, please stay tuned for my conversation with Pamela Brooks. Pam is the head of adult services at the Scotch Plains Public Library. They have a fascinating program going on. Of course, it's connected with the New Jersey Council for the Humanities, called Voices from the Margins, Connecting Our Stories. And according to the press release issued by Scotch Plains, throughout the series, participants will view films, a play, museum exhibits, and discuss books, all chosen for the way that they portray belonging and otherness, community and marginalization. And all of this is coming up right now here on Humanities Connection. The Visual Arts Center of New Jersey has been described as the state's largest institution dedicated exclusively to viewing, making, and learning about contemporary art. Sarah Walco is the center's Director of Education and Community Engagement, and she's our guest here in our WFDU TNX studio. And thank you very much for taking the drive up. Well, you're in Summit, right, the center?
We are. We are in Summit.
And I'm really a little surprised because I was doing some research, getting ready for the interview, and said, oh, I never heard of this place. And then I found out on your website the place has been around for about 80 years. So give us a little history.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. We're definitely trying to increase our visibility a lot right now. Those in the community and then the surrounding area very much know about us. And the history of the center was very studio school based for decades. But we have had the addition of the museum, and those are the programs that I direct, the education of the museum programs. And that's relatively newer and opening the center up to a broader audience.
And that's really where the New Jersey Council for the Humanities comes in, the
yep.
underwriter of this program, because the
Absolutely.
Fact that what they're funding are the educational programs. And I guess a gallery, a studio, a school can be a bit insular. You wait for people to find you and come to you. Talk a little bit about the ways in which you're exploring, and you did mention to me before the show that you're in the very earliest stages, but exploring ways to take contemporary art to the students, to the people, to the community.
Yeah, we're definitely exploring that a lot. We feel very much that it's the role of an art center and a museum to not be just place-based anymore. We're very aware of and striving to do a lot of outreach in our community as well. And so we have the contemporary art shows in the exhibition spaces. We have a lot of educational programming around it for people to enter a dialogue about the work in whatever place they're coming from. But for example, we have some spring programming coming up where the artist explored four local New Jersey parks. And so he created a series of maps and walks that you can actually just go get at the museum and then go into those landscapes and take the walks, and then you'll be able to blog about it on our website. And so it's not, trying to create a lot of different programs that are not just about coming to the museum.
Your mission statement on the website mentions viewing, making, and learning about contemporary art. How do you define contemporary art, especially in a place that's been around for 80 years? I'm certain the 2017 definition might not be the 1937 definition.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's, how do you define modern art? How do you define contemporary art? We mean it in the sense of artists working in, in the context in this time period.
But literally contemporary.
Yeah.
Those who are with us and still breathing, basically.
Right. And we don't really do exhibitions based on, very important, but, art historical movements and things like that, just because that's not what our vision and our focus is. So we have artists working in all different mediums from, both nationally and internationally that show with us, but working in contemporary art scene right now.
And we also mentioned that you have a three-pronged mission: viewing, making, and learning. So let's talk about a little bit of each. Let's start with the viewing. You made a brief reference to it in terms of what you show, but why don't we start there in terms of the gallery aspect of it?
Yeah, we have several different exhibition spaces in the Art Center. So there's shows that change out every season, and anytime you enter, you can see they're usually artists working in, you know, very different ways and different themes and different concepts. So you can always see different things that might interest you more or less, and you can learn a lot about the artists. You can get docented tours. You know, basically, if you wanted to go in and have your own experience, you can. If you wanted to go in and have an educational experience, you can. And then the Studio School is the making. So we offer classes year round for all ages, from children to adults, in, again, every kind of medium, from drawing, painting to ceramics. And again, that's an opportunity to get in there and make. And then learning is about the extent, it's kind of bringing those worlds together in a sense. It's about, we do gallery education programs where you can come and see the exhibitions, learn about the work, and then go into a classroom and make a project based on some of those concepts. And so all of our learning experiences try to kind of fuse a lot of those worlds.
Now, I mentioned that we are in Teaneck, New Jersey, in Bergen County, right outside New York City. This radio station broadcasts into the five boroughs. So for people who may not know, where is Summit? How do you get to the Visual Arts Center?
Oh, it's very easy to get to by train. New Jersey Transit is directly to the Summit stop, and that's, you know, from Penn Station, from all over New Jersey. So, and then if you get off the train, you can literally walk 5 minutes to the Arts Center. So that's easy. You know, we're in northern New Jersey, so by car, it's also easy to get to, but definitely public transportation is the best way to get to us.
And I found your website very, very useful. So if you can give people some contact information as well. You know, how you can get to the website and call you up and just find out on the phone.
Yeah, artcenternewjersey.org is our website, and all of our contact information is on there, and all the information about our exhibitions and programming is on there. So that's definitely the best way to see what we're doing.
You mentioned that you have artists, contemporary artists, working in a variety of media. Do you have video? Do you have people who work in that medium? Are they primarily painters, sculptors? Do you have anybody who is a filmmaker?
Oh, we have every medium, because I think contemporary artists are working in every medium now. We do live in a time where so many tools are available to us at this point, and also, you know, where a lot of artists don't just stick with just painting or bronze casting or whatever it is. A lot of artists are working in across the board of mediums, for sure. And, you know, I think the other thing I want to say is that we have such a strong belief in arts education programming, because we don't think about it in the sense of, oh, if you get arts education programming, then, you know, maybe you'll grow up on this career trajectory of being a painter or being an artist. We just think it's about broadening a educational perspective and creative thinking that can be applied to anything you do for the rest of your life, any field that you go into. And that's really the importance of arts education.
I had a high school teacher who was teaching art history, and I told him I had literally no talent for painting, short of stick figures. And he simply said that the goal of this course is to teach you more ways to enjoy yourself in your life. And I've really taken that to heart. I've never become a real expert in any particular field of art. History interests me more. Motion pictures do. Of course, motion pictures are an art in and of themselves. But I'm talking about painting and some of the more traditional media, sculpture, etc. But I can appreciate it and enjoy it. And I think that's a key point as far as getting people in there and having them pick up on something. They don't have to become the artist. They don't have to make a career of it. They can use it in a variety of ways.
Oh, absolutely. Creative thinking, which can be applied to everything. You know, I think any kind of good learning usually leaves you with more questions than answers. And so, you know, getting into a creative learning environment that just captures your inspiration, captures your inquiry, and makes you keep probing and makes you want to keep learning. And, you know, that's what a lot of art education is, to kind of blow open that door and blow open the, you know, sort of in-the-box thinking, so that you can really expand your questions.
And in education, there has been an explosion in the field of art therapy, too, how
Absolutely.
Art can also help people to express not only what's on their conscious mind, but also deep below and in the emotional field. So it connects in so many different ways.
Yep.
Our guest is Sarah Walco, and she is Education and Community Engagement Director for the Visual Arts Center of New Jersey. You're listening to Humanities Connection on WFDU. And, of course, the program remains as an archive on the web at www.njch.org. We urge you to go to that site because if you're following the news, you know that things are a little bit rocky right now for the humanities, and you might want to find out what's going on in your home state at www.njch.org. Let's talk a little bit, Sarah, about the makers.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying that you're not just teaching people to go on a career track, so what are some of the motivations of the art makers when you talk about the students? Obviously, the instructors are going to be in a different category, but why are people coming there, and what are some of the things people could gain by taking the classes?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think people come to art for a pretty wide variety of reasons. Some people come very specifically, yes, to learn a skill that they want to, you know, apply to a very specific vision and then get that vision out in the world, and they do want to go on this career trajectory. Other people come, as you mentioned before, as a mode of sort of self-expression and exploration, really, just seeing, you know, what they can do and what they're interested in doing, not necessarily thinking about it as a career, but just thinking of it as a really rewarding way to spend time. So, you know, it's across the board why people come to making art. We have a huge variety of teachers that teach everything to that, basically, from incredibly difficult techniques to, you know, creating basically a classroom space of exploration and expression. So basically any of those reasons can bring people there, and then the level that they want to get to in their own work is really their own path.
Tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to a job director of education and community engagement.
I'm an artist myself, so that was all of my education.
In what medium?
I do sculpture and installation and film. But I've always loved working with artists. And so when it came time to getting a job, I thought, you know, if I've got to pay my rent and I've got bills to pay, so if I have to spend a lot of my time doing that, then I want to work with artists. So I immediately got involved with, I was curator for Savannah College of Art and Design for a number of years. I was executive director of Triangle Arts Association in Brooklyn for a number of years, and then director of arts programming at Marble House Project in Vermont for a number of years. So always working within institutions and nonprofits and for artists. I mean, I guess also just a little bit of my philosophy is I really love getting behind ideas and pushing them out in the world. And whether I'm doing that in my own work in the studio or I'm doing that in as a director of organizations or as, you know, director of education, it all sort of feels the same to me as long as I keep doing that, basically.
Are you still working as an artist? Do you still have time?
Yes, I do.
That's great.
In the evening.
Well, listen, how many people who work in the arts are able to actually make it into their regular paying job, the one that pays the bills? So many people are just working the so-called day job. This brings so much more. Tell us a little bit about the actual physical plan structure of the Visual Arts Center. How many studios? Is it a freestanding building? Galleries? What do you have?
Yeah, it's a really beautiful building. It's just a nice experience being in there. We've got, as I mentioned, we've got three galleries and really nice exhibition spaces. We have 9 studio classrooms, and again, ranging from drawing and painting studios to the ceramic studios, printmaking, jewelry making, really top of the line facilities. We also have, you know, it's a lot of windows. It's a bright, airy building. There's a lot of activity going there all the time. It's just fun for me sometimes to walk into work at 9 a.m. and there's already, you know, some of the classes going on and people are running around the building. It's just walking around a building every day where people are just making stuff stuff all the time. And being really inspired is a great environment to be in.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty stimulating all the time. And just finally, when do you hope to formulate these education programs? Are you looking for next September for the schools? Are you just going to let it take its course to see, you know, where the audience is? What kind of timeline are you working on?
I think actually probably next September is when we'll start. I mean, we already do have a lot of education programs and tools in place. We're just looking to deepen them and expand them a little bit, which is the focus of this program and this grant. So we are, by next September, you know, absolutely, we will have those.
Sarah, thank you very much, because, you know, we may repeat this over the summer and people have forgotten this, but for our initial broadcast in March, we've had to reschedule you at least three times because of ridiculous, no, unpredictable weather, and we appreciate you taking the trouble to come all the way up here to Bergen County to be with us.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
And it is the Visual Arts Center of New Jersey, located in Summit, New Jersey, that we've been talking about. Our guest has been Sarah Walco. You're listening to Humanities Connection on WFDU 89.1 FM. I'm Bob Mann. This program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. If you want more information about the work of the Council, please go to www.njch.org. There you can hear archives of this program and also find out detailed information about all of the wonderful things that are being done by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. Libraries in the 21st century remain relevant. They certainly couldn't survive if all they were books on a shelf. But now there's so much in terms of technology and new media. But another way in which they're doing it in Scotch Plains is by promoting civil discourse, especially about the American experience. And that's what we're going to be talking about on this segment of Humanities Connection. And my guest is Pamela Brooks. Pam is head of adult services for the Scotch Plains Public Library, and she's here to talk about a program which is connected to the New Jersey Council for the Humanities called Voices from the Margins, Connecting Our Stories. Pam, thanks for taking the time to do this interview.
Well, thank you for having me, Bob.
Tell us a little bit about your project.
Sure. Let me tell you about Voices from the Margin, Connecting Our Stories. We're so enthusiastic about this project, and we'd love to share this information with you. Voices from the Margin is a series of programs that we began this past October, and it will continue until mid-June. It was funded by New Jersey Council of the Humanities and the Friends of the Library, the Scotch Plains Library. During the nine-month period for this series, we will be reading books, discussing them, touring museums, and viewing films. We've also had a theater trip. Voices from the Margins actually started, it's an outgrowth of a smaller project that we did in 2016, also funded by NJCH. We called that project Beyond to Kill a Mockingbird. We used the publication of Harper Lee's second novel, Go Set a Watchman, as a springboard to look at race relations in this country during our lifetimes. So our group, we had a group of about 20 adults, and we read and discussed the books by Lee and her contemporaries, black and white, and then looked at them through the lens of our historical perspective. What happened with this series was something really wonderful. It spurred such interesting and frank conversations about history and race. The civil discourse that our library is so looking to encourage, that so many of the group wanted to continue.
That is just so great, because we don't need to tell anybody listening to a show like this on the radio would certainly be aware of what's going on in the news, and there's virtually nothing which can be discussed, politics, race, anything that are so-called hot-button issues, in a civil way, and you've actually achieved it. You have the backstory to this from last season, and now you're doing it again. And as a matter of fact, I just want to mention, Pam, something to our audience. We're initially broadcasting this on March 26th, but we may rerun it during the summer, and it's certainly going to remain on the website at njch.org. So we're going to talk about what's coming up March through June 2017, but then also look ahead to next year as well. So let's start off with what's coming up next as people listen to this initial broadcast. And the first is Black Dog of Fate. That's a book discussion, I believe. So give us some details on that.
Yes, let me tell you about this book. It's written by a journalist and a writer who grew up in New Jersey. His name is Peter Balakian, and he grew up in comfortable middle-class circumstances here in our state, surrounded by a loving family, and he was particularly close to his grandmother. As a child, he lived a typical American childhood, and only from bits and pieces of exchanges and dropped conversations did he pick up some kind of thread of his family's history. As an adult, he realized that his grandmother was indeed a survivor of the Armenian Genocide, and Balakian went out, set forth to find out more about his family history, and the result is a really incredible book. The conversation will be facilitated by two people from our partner organization, Change, which is the Center for Holocaust, Human Rights, and I always forget the...
Don't worry about the acronym, but it's C-H-H-A-N-G-E, if people want to Google that and find out more about it.
Yes, thank you. And we are looking forward to that. What we will concentrate with Black Dog of Fate, as we concentrated with our previous reading of Mouse by Art Spiegelman, is not just the historical context back in the country where the persecutions existed, but what is the adjustment to American life? What is the family saga? What are the secrets that are kept, and what are the secrets that are hidden? So we will discuss Black Dog of Fate on March 27th. The public is invited to come. On Saturday, April 22nd at 2 p.m., we have the exhibit opening of A Journey to Life, Armenia.
So it's related. You're again talking about the Armenian experience.
We are, and the Armenian experience, not only in Armenia, but what did they find and how did they refashion their lives once they reached America. And that, again, is from our wonderful partners at Change, which is the Center for Holocaust, Human Rights, and Genocide Education at Brookdale Community College. Moving onward, on Sunday, April 30th at 1 o'clock, the library and partners will be hosting a panel discussion of genocide survivors and descendants. There will be a survivor of the Holocaust, a survivor of the Rwandan genocide, and a local resident who is the daughter of Armenian survivors.
So you're really expanding this because you begin with two things that are focused on the Armenian experience, and the Armenian genocide is almost exactly 100 years ago. I believe it's in this time span of the teens of the 20th century. But now you're bringing in, genocide, it's amazing. It is in so many places and so many parts of history. The experience tends to be so similar, even though it's different groups of people, different levels of, historical involvement with the world scene. But nonetheless, there are so many common themes.
And that's what we're trying to coax out of this series, Bob. We find that when our group meets in a rather small group setting, perhaps 20, 25 people or fewer, we coax out the commonalities from what we're reading. We find connections to each other. And the whole point of doing programs like this is to see that we're not alone, that we are connected. There's a connection through history, and there's a connection within our community as well. And we also remind ourselves over and over again that as we study and talk about things like the Holocaust and the Armenian Genocide or the Jim Crow South, is that there is no single story. So we talk about our connectedness, we talk about what we have in common, but we're also always reminded, and we started our series actually by viewing Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's TED Talk, The Danger of a Single Story. And after we read Americana, which is the last book we'll be reading in this series on June 5th, and the discussion will be facilitated by Dr. Linda Caldwell-Epps, who is our scholar facilitator for this series. We will again view Adichie's TED Talk, and now we'll have more context in which to discuss it.
That is a really fascinating concept. So the whole idea of Voices from the Margins connecting our stories, that's not just a subtitle. That connection idea is really vital to the whole philosophy of what you're talking about here.
Absolutely, Bob.
You know, you mentioned CHANGE, and I did find what the acronym is,
yes.
CHHANG, Center for Holocaust, Human Rights, and Genocide Education. So that's who you're working with, based out of Lincroft, New Jersey. You're listening to Humanities Connection. I'm Bob Mann, and we're talking about some fascinating things going on at the Scotch Plains Library, some of them connected to the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. And my guest is Pamela Brooks. And Pam, if people are listening, and of course, this radio station goes into New York City, too. So, obviously, not just limited to New Jersey residents. Should they be contacting you directly on your email, or would you want them to just go to the library's website? How would you like that handled?
Any way they want. Our library's website is scotlib.org, scotlib.org. You'll find our events listed there. But please do reach out and contact me via my email. It's pbrooks@scotlib.org, scotlib.org, or phone me, 908-322-5007, extension 204. I know that here in the library, we'd love to hear from you. Our partners at CHANGE and at Social Justice Matters, Inc., which is our other grant partner, would love to have you come to our programs.
Okay, this is great. Now, in the small time that we have left here, two other things that are happening in the spring of 2017, mm-hmm. and then we can look to the future.
Sure.
First, let's talk about Americana, and then Juneteenth.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'd like to talk about that. On Monday, June 5th at 6:30, Dr. Linda Caldwell-Epps, who is our scholar facilitator, will be back in the facilitator seat to discuss Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's wonderful novel, Americana. That will be the last novel that we talk about, and I think a really, really fitting conclusion to our book discussions, as this novel brings us right up to the present, as does her TED Talk, which we'll view and talk about again. On June 19th, we have gotten additional funding from Investors Foundation to host a community-wide Juneteenth celebration. Juneteenth is the oldest and largest celebration of the end of slavery in the U.S., and it's celebrated nationwide on Juneteenth, which marks the date that the news of the emancipation finally came through to the last holdouts in Texas, I think several years after Abraham Lincoln actually issued the proclamation. So we're going to have the celebration will be hosted at a local church, Willow Grove Church in Scotch Plains, who have graciously opened their doors for us. We will have beautiful music, piano music, vocal music, and sing-along within the church, and then we will have fellowship outside on the church lawns to celebrate hope and freedom, and the desire for a better future for us all. The public is invited to this program, and just contact me, and we'll add your name.
That is incredible. That sounds like a real celebration. Less than a minute left, really quickly. Somebody could be hearing this on the web. All of these events have come and gone. It could be a rerun on the radio. What is the World War I thing you have coming up next year?
Sure, Bob. Real quickly, I want you to know that we've received a grant for from the Library of America and the Gilda Lehrman Institute for American History to offer to our community a series of programs called World War I in America. We'll be highlighting the veterans in our community, discussing history, current events, and the great works of art and literature that have come from World War I and from our military people throughout history. We hope that our community will join us. People from outside our community are also welcome, and you'll see our events posted shortly on our website. They will run from mid-September through November of 2017.
Pam, thank you very much. Scotch Plains Library is the place for all of these things. Our guest has been Pamela Brooks. That's it for this episode of Humanities Connection. I'm Bob Mann. Thank you for listening. You can join us on the radio on the final Sunday of every month at WFDU 89.1 FM. And you can get more information by going on the web to www.njch.org to learn more about the New Jersey Council for the Humanities.